Welcome to Layers, a podcast about style and how we get dressed, with Anna Kinsella and me, Stevie Mackenzie Smith. The theme of this episode is folk.
I have some news.
Tell me.
I have recently bought a new pair of trousers.
Okay.
It's my first pair of trousers in a few months. So, and I needed the new pair.
And these are a pair that you're really excited about? Have you they're got quite, the kind yeah. of like new
they're
item?
They're new for me. You know, they're love. A new shape. They're what I would carefully call cam pants. So anyone who follows Instagram fashion quite closely will know who Jessie Cam and what her trousers are like. They're more generally known as a kind of a simple sailor trouser. They've got a high waist. They're quite snug in the bottom.
Okay.
And then a slightly wide leg.
And what's the crop? They're cropped?
Yes.
Okay. As all trousers are these days, I believe.
Yeah, I know. I wore them out today and I was like, ooh, it's pretty chilly down there.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just the price you pay for looking fantastic.
I would love to see them. We'll have to have a look later. What colour are they?
I'm wearing them right now.
You're wearing them right now? Did you just say you're wearing them right now? See, I like to cultivate this sort of air of interest while also being really disinterested at the same time.
You're exceptionally good at this.
Well, Anna, they're fabulous.
Thank you. Moving on to your recent acquisitions. I heard on the internet recently that you bought a Laura Ashley dress.
I did, and I'm wearing it right now. Yes, it's what has been called an Italian tablecloth dress, which is, I mean, exactly as you'd imagined it. It's red gingham made of linen, and it has buttons all down the front, which I have realised I can't quite get away with wearing on the front because they're quite gapey over my boobs. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit on the tight side. So I've turned it around and it looks really nice. The kind of worn back to front, you wouldn't notice. And, you know, last time we spoke, I was saying that I was in the middle of a style rut. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this dress has really helped me get out of it.
Was this an eBay buy?
This was an eBay buy. It was £15.
Did you know what you were looking for when you went on eBay that day?
Yes. I think I searched gingham dress to find
it. Okay, cool.
Or maybe even Laura Ashley. But I think it has taught me that it is worth continuing trying to get the thing that you want.
Because, and not settling.
And also sometimes trying to avoid that voice in your head which says, maybe I'll try something new that isn't really me. I mean, that's really negative. I don't mean that. I'm just thinking about that dress that I was talking about that I bought last time.
No, I'm just having second thoughts about my sailor pants.
The sailor pants are you, aren't okay. they?
I hope so. I've never taken to
no.
the seas.
Oh, so it doesn't... But hang on, does the sailor pants feel like new territory for you in terms of the shape?
They're an extension of something I've been trying for a few months.
Okay.
It's an evolution of my trouser style.
It must be going well if
the
evolution is continued.
This is the first time I've worn them, but I'm excited about them and excited to see where they bring me.
Are these the kind of trousers that you feel like you could wear for lots of different occasions?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the... Hopefully they're going to save me in that sense.
Because I can imagine that they'd look really good with a pair of heels as well as trainers.
Don't wear heels, but that's probably the sailor in me, so...
Wow.
But tell me more about Laura Ashley, because I've been saying recently on the internet that we need a Laura Ashley revival.
Yeah, and Lucy, our producer, would said the same thing
yes.
a couple of days ago.
They need smart millennial consultants.
It. Well, and this is what the kind of... We were talking last time, right, about Batsheva and and sort of really big, puffy floral dresses, maybe having a bit of a moment again.
Super feminine.
Yes.
Very modest.
Yes.
The time is now. But I also think, you know, Laura Ashley is a British brand and people like shopping local at the moment. And I think there's such a market for that well-made, good quality, locally made to some extent dress that's like maybe, you know, £150, £200. So it's not like your everyday spend, but it's something that you're going to look forward to buying. And I don't know why brands like that don't just step in and do it for us, you know?
Yeah, and also the fact that they're... I mean, obviously, I have found this from looking on eBay recently. Old Laura Ashley dresses seem to go for so much money.
They're very in demand. Probably because of Batsheva as well.
And
you know?
I think because of the quality as well.
Really
I think
good.
That's the reason why I bought this one. It's 100% linen. And I've said before, like, I really struggle with synthetic fabrics.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. So I think that... Actually, there are a lot of brands that are doing kind of aesthetically what we're talking about, but they're not always following through mm-hmm. with fabrics. And even we've talked about Toast before. Toast are a little bit higher than that potential price point that you were talking about. But, you know, you'll buy their things, and I've read on the reviews on the websites that buttons will fall off really easily and the quality just isn't as good.
Well, I'm a big Toast shopper and my new trousers are from Toast, and I haven't had any of these problems with Toast before. But,
okay.
You know, I mean... Yeah, it's always open. And I think especially as companies grow, I think in my experience, fashion companies, brands that start out quite small and then suddenly get bigger, their quality can dip because they're looking for cheaper manufacturing methods. And I think that's what I always say to people from my experience as a fashion journalist. If you find a small brand that is doing something you like, get into it now, because if they're like making leggings and they get bought by a massive company, their manufacturing will change.
That's a good tip.
So right now they probably have the best that they can get. I mean, I don't want to be cynical about large companies or whatever, but it is a fact of life about shopping on the high street.
Speaking of high street versus eBay, you have mentioned that you're on the lookout for a kilt.
I'm looking out for a vintage kilt, quite a short one, in an alluring tartan, I would say. But it's quite hard to find. There actually aren't that many of them in the right sizes, I think.
Yeah, and I found when I've looked before, there's lots of children's kilts, lots of men's kilts.
Yes.
And
women's kilts.
Yeah, getting a flattering fit is quite hard.
So if anyone has any great search terms for kilts on eBay that they want to share with me, please do let me know.
Anna recently met Alana Eileen Cooper, a photographer from Orkney in Scotland, who recently won the New Fashion Image Prize at Central St Martins.
When I left Orkney, I moved to Edinburgh, and from there moved to London. And I'm glad that I had the in-between city, because when I first moved to London, it's really hectic, and there's a lot of people. I think there's about as many people in the university as there are in our population. So it's like, it's quite drastic. I think a lot of the things that you do in Orkney are based around hobbies. So everyone's either interested in art or sport or music or something. Everyone has a thing, and you do a lot of crafts and, I don't know, baking or like lots of activities. I think it's like really based around making your own entertainment rather than being able to just go somewhere to be entertained, kind of.
Mm. So did you find growing up that kind of fashion and photography were something that you could, like, you had the freedom and time to spend time with?
I think my idea of fashion when I was younger was sort of, I was obsessed with those three fashion magazines you could get in this one little record shop. So I bought all of those religiously.
What were the magazines?
Vogue, Dazed and ID.
That's pretty good considering.
Yeah, like it's a really nice little record shop, and I think there's probably like one copy every month that I was snapping up, maybe more, but it felt like you had to be like in that shop every month. Yeah, I think when I left, I realised that what I'd actually learned in terms of fashion was everything that had come from like my mum and my granny and all the women in my family. They taught me like dressmaking and sewing and embroidery and knitting, but I'm not very good at knitting. And I think now that I've left, I realise there's so much value in those things and like the practical knowledge and more appreciation of the craft of actually making fashion, rather than in my head it was this huge, really far away sort of idea that existed somewhere really separate. And it turned out like all along, all the stuff that I had been doing was actually just as much a part of fashion as it is anywhere else. More growing up, my idea was like fashion existed down south.
Yeah.
And like I don't know, there's about two or three women's clothes shops in Orkney. There's no like high street shops or brands or things like that. So we would go on holiday, every summer holiday, to go to Inverness, and you buy your clothes and that would last you every year. So if you didn't do that, generally what I would do is I worked in the charity shop and I would get clothes and alter them or turn them into something new, or just make like buy a dress pattern and make the thing that I wanted, because you couldn't just walk into like Topshop or H&M or something and just pick up the thing that you thought was cool at the time. You had to just find your way around it. So for me, it felt like that was something that other people had, like they had fashion.
Mm.
Whereas I actually now definitely really value having had that, like, I don't know, challenge, mm. like having to do that, because now I still do things like that, and still I don't buy clothes very often at all. And when I do, like, I still love, like, I prefer going to a charity shop and finding mm-hmm. a surprise.
Is there an item of clothing that seems really kind of Orkney to you?
Probably the thing that stands out the most is the Festival of the Horse in South Ronaldty, which is basically a festival every year. There's a ploughing match for young boys who have to basically plough a straight line in the sand, and then they get marked on the quality of their plough and the straightness of the line. And then there's a competition, and loads of children dress up as horses, and their outfits are sort of like black shorts and a black coat, but it's been embellished by like beads and buttons mm. and frills and everything. And then they have this huge headpiece that looks kind of I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like they look like they're wearing a saddle and all the regalia for like a Clydesdale horse, and they have like the sort of hair around their ankles and bells attached everywhere. And this is on one of the South Isles, mm-hmm. and we used to go and watch it every year. And I never lived on that island, so I didn't take part,
mm-hmm.
but I loved going to watch this.
Yeah.
And even still, like every year, love going to see it when I can. And I think there's just something so nice, because basically the outfit gets passed down through their family. So there's always like a 3-year-old in a huge jacket and a huge pair of shorts peeking out from this hat that like covers their face. So it's like there's something really nice, especially about the oversized ones, and you know that it's come from like their big brother, and maybe their mum wore it before or something. So it's, yeah, I really like them. It's a really nice place to go.
That's brilliant. So then how do you think that impacts on your work with your, is it Tehran?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, a lot of my work is about the accessibility of fashion. So it's a lot of it is about how can you be part of fashion from anywhere, and how can you feel like you're part of fashion, and how can you get people involved that like maybe they don't know that they're like able to be part of fashion because they think it exists somewhere else. Or I've been doing workshops with different people, and one of them, I got given the keys to a charity shop, and we did dressing up challenges, and it was a styling workshop, and everyone that came had no idea what styling was, but they thought it might be fun to do like a fashion activity for a weekend. So then everyone came and took part and got dressed up and just really enjoyed the clothes. And a lot of it was like, there was one challenge that was like, how can you make an outfit that's wearing as much homeware as possible instead of garments? And you see that a lot in, say, Dazed magazine. Someone will, I don't know, wrap someone up in a clothesline or something.
An IKEA bag or something becomes a dress.
Yeah, like it's a lot of fashion in magazines is all DIY styling. So it was like really nice to do this somewhere completely different. And a lot of the ideas were so, like, I could never have thought of any of the ideas. Like there was some that were like brilliant. There was like shower curtain hoops, like fastened into a big knitted jumper. Yeah, there was just like beetroot used as earrings and stuff. Like it was like really, really creative and really good fun, and everyone really enjoyed it. And they were like, oh, this should be like therapy or something for people to like come to every week and get dressed up.
And how has your relationship with Orkney changed since you've moved away?
Like, I really love going home, and whenever I go home, I just try to spend as much time with like my granny and granddad and my family and see everyone. And I really like realize how much you take for granted, like being able to walk to the beach every day and just go outside, like go out for a walk to nowhere. And I think one of the things that's really nice at home is there's such a strong community spirit. And if you say, oh, there's a thing happening, like everyone will go. And part of that's like to support, and part of that's just to be nosy and see what's happening.
It's entertainment.
Like, yeah, just find out. But yeah, it's like, it's a really different, it's like the whole community is completely like close-knit. And I think that's something that's so important. And I think it's something that, like, when I first moved to London, was quite a surprise, because you could absolutely never know what everyone on your street is doing because it's so long. But I think, like, going to the uni and meeting different people, you do start to find that there is sort of a community here as well. It's just set up in a completely different way. So I think it is there in different places. It's just, like, takes time to get to know it.
You can see Alana's work on her Instagram at Alana Eileen, that's Alana with a H and then Eileen, and at Tehran.community.
Something I really liked about that interview with Alana was learning about the Festival of the Horse in South Ronaldsea. Those costumes looked really amazing. I actually ended up Googling them after listening to that. And it made me think about regional dress and costume, and sort of made me hanker after a regional connection of my own when it comes to a local historical costume.
What is the local historical costume for Bristol?
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure if I looked into the history, I'd find maybe something. Nothing immediately springs to mind.
It is a nice idea to think that even if it was just like a something impractical, like a suit of armour or something, but specific to where you're from.
Or like some sort of hat.
Bristol hat.
Yeah, I think the closest that, when I went down this whole sort of train of thought and was thinking about folksy dressing traditions, the closest I got to was Morris dances, which is not, you know, that's not specific to Bristol, but I have memories of being at May fairs as a kid, and that's kind of, you know, we're not far from the Cotswolds, and there's a big historical connection to Morris dancing there. And I ended up reading on the train here today, actually, quite a lot about Morris dancers, and specifically how their costumes differ according to different parts of Britain. So, for example, in the Cotswolds, Morris dancers wear mostly all white, and they'll like wave handkerchiefs while they're dancing. And then in other places, maybe they'll wear a green waistcoat or wear ripped garments. I don't know, do you feel like you have an equivalent of a regional item?
No, I mean, there are things that are specifically Irish, but I mean, I'm from Dublin, most of my family is from Dublin, and I mean, the thing about Ireland is, I guess, that it was quite poor in comparison for such a long time, so you do have these very functional garments like iron jumpers, which I have two of and I love. And I love that when you go to the west of Ireland, you see people wearing iron jumpers. And they're not all American tourists. You know, some of them actually live there. but they're like the Cornish fisherman's jumper. They're just hard-wearing, very functional items of clothing that people needed because of their way of life. And now they're weirdly almost like a status symbol. Like, they're quite expensive to get good ones. And, like, they're quite fashionable. And you have people like Simone Rocha, like, reworking them in a way sometimes, you know, and stuff like that. But I think there's so much depth in regional garments. I, for one, would love to hear or even star in a radio series that goes around Britain and Ireland and actually talks about these regional garments, whether it's, you know, the horse people at the horse festival, or it's something that our producer Lucy suggested was just like how girls dress for nights out in Newcastle, you know, or something like that. Because there are so many differences across the country.
Yeah, and it would be fascinating. And also, I like what you've said about, well, maybe part of the appeal is the fact that these are, it's not meant to be about being exclusive or being elite. It's just about reflecting where you come from what you wear. And I like the democracy of it's being like, I'm from this place, so I'm going to wear this jumper.
It's the history of the people in a way, you know? It's just the people who've been in that place at that time.
I suppose that I could claim the Mackenzie clan's tartan, But that feels a little bit like I'd be grasping at Scottish roots that I don't actually have that much connection to.
I think a Scottish root is a Scottish root, and this is the year for reclaiming tartan, so I think you should go for it.
This is the year for the kilt?
Yes, absolutely. Or maybe it's just a fetching beret in that tartan.
That's
you know?
True. It's funny actually that we're talking about this, because there have been moments in the past where I've been looking at old family photos, and my dad is one of three brothers, and they all, in kind of on big occasions, will wear their kilt in the clan tartan. Mm. And I remember always being really actually quite jealous of that as I got older, that they could do that. And like, what's the equivalent for a woman in the family? Maybe there is. Maybe I just need to look more into my family connections and history. But the maybe I should just wear the kilt.
The alternative is that you start your own one.
Yeah, that's true. I like the idea of claiming it.
Yeah.
Asking my dad or whoever has the kilt that gets shed around, I can wear it. Maybe I should get married in the kilt.
Do it. Please do. I love it.
Imagine the questions. Maybe people wouldn't ask the stupid questions that they ask then. I know. Well, it would just be so indecent.
So, Stevie, you've been coming to London for these kind of brief forays, a lot of the time just to record layers sometimes from Bristol in the past few weeks. What's that been like?
I was thinking about that today because I got on the tube and there was a very, very stylish man who actually reminded me of the kind of man that you might write about in your newsletter. Mm-hmm. He was carrying a Daunt Books tote.
Of course he was.
He was probably in his 60s. He had like a very expensive architectural pair of glasses on and a big, black, very well cut wool coat. And I had this thrill of thinking, oh, that's a London person. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just you see people on the street who seem to represent maybe what London is and has been historically. So I think that coming to London, I find that quite exciting. And it has made me think about how you might dress differently depending on where you live. And obviously over the last year, I have lived in a few different places. Mm. So when Alana was talking about that sense of London not being the hub of fashion necessarily, everybody can be stylish no matter where they live. I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, because there are stylish people everywhere. What London has is just that it's this huge hodgepodge of like lots of different kinds of people, but also lots of history, I think, as well. And people seem to give themselves permission to dress in certain ways here that they don't necessarily in other places. But that said, you know, like I go back to Dublin a few times a year and I'm always so excited to see how people are dressing there, partially because they get more dressed up there, I think, they take a bit more, a different kind of care than they do in London. And so, yeah, I hate that distinction, and I understand what Alana says about this notion of London being like the place where fashion is.
Yeah.
And that not being true once you actually experience it. But at the same time, I do think, you know, there are qualities of dress in every place that you go that are different.
Yeah, and also I personally think there's something to do with this time of year, and well, maybe it's about depending on what season it is, but this time of year is particularly exciting because people have on exciting coats and exciting hats and all of these accessories that come out.
It is good. They go all out. Fair play to them. Thanks for listening. Layers is produced by Lucy Dearlove. You can follow us on Instagram at layers.podcast, and we'll be posting some of Alana's amazing images this week too.
And tweet us and tell us what you're wearing. We are at Layers Podcast. And if you have a minute, please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you like Layers, tell your friends to listen to it too.